This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
My word is a lamp.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Praise the name of Jesus. It's really a privilege to be here another Saturday evening to continue in the epistles of Paul to the Romans. We are in chapter 9 and last time we stopped at verse 15 and I will continue from there this week. But before we begin, let us pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for who you are. Thank you for your goodness towards us, your mercies, your grace, which is sufficient for us. Thank you for your peace, which passeth all understanding, that keeps our hearts and minds. Thank you for this privilege, again, to bring forth your word to your people. And we pray in the name of Jesus that we will be attentive to what you are saying to us this evening, and we will purpose in our hearts to obey your words. Father, we give you thanks and praise for your guidance this evening, and we thank you for your people who are listening, and we pray in the name of Jesus that as your words go forth, it will bring forth transformation in the life of your people. Father, we give you thanks and praise and look to you by faith. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and we say amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. We continue in Romans 9. Romans 9, verse 15. Last time we stopped there. And we see Paul writing to the Romans. And when we look on chapters 9 through 11, he was really speaking to the Jewish audience at that time. So we see where he was saying in verse 15 of Romans 9, "For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." So God was Paul was saying that God is a God who is not partial, and he has no favorites. He's God, and he does as he pleases. So he shows mercy on whom he wants to show mercy, and he shows kindness to whom he wants to show kindness. He does as he pleases. So we can't be questioning what God is doing. That's what Paul was saying. "For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will. I will have compassion on whom I will." So God is God. So let us see him for who he is. He is the Almighty God. He does not take counsel from no man. He is God. So we have to see him for who he is and reverence him and give him the glory that is due to his great name. Look at verse 16 of Romans 9. "So then it is not to him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy." So Paul was saying that the honor does not go to the man that is doing the work, but of God who shows mercy. So when we come and to see and understand that everything that we do, the ability that we have, it is from God. So we would take time out to give him the glory and to give him the praise, because everything that we have and can do and will do, it is because he enables us. So to him be the glory. He is the one that shows mercy to us. He is the one that helps us in all that we have to do. So look at verse 17 of Romans 9. "For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for the same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth." And that's found in Exodus 9:16. So Paul was referring to Exodus 9:16 when the scripture says that the Lord said that he has raised up Pharaoh to show his power in him and that his name might be declared throughout all the earth. So we remember what happened with Moses and Pharaoh, when all those 10 plagues, God demonstrated his power by sending those 10 plagues upon Egypt. And the word of God tells us God's power, God's glory was declared throughout all the earth. Everyone in all the earth heard of the great and mighty works that God did in Egypt. So all of that happened for God's glory to be seen in all the earth. So it is showing us that we have to come to understand that God is not a man. God is God. So he is able to do everything. And he will get his glory no matter what. He will get his glory. So whether or not we want to give him glory, he will get his glory. He's able to glorify himself. So we see we're even through the hardness of Pharaoh's heart. And God sending all those different plagues, reminding us of his mighty power, that he's the omnipotent God, all-powerful God. And everyone on this earth could see his fame and his glory through all that he had done in Egypt. So we see, people of God, Paul was just reminding the Jewish people all that was written in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, of how God would get his glory from in throughout all the earth with all his mighty works that he will do among his people, or that he has done among his people. Look at Romans 9 verse 18. Therefore has he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he harden it. So God is God. He have mercy on whom he will have mercy. And those hearts that are hardened, they will remain hardened. Because God is able to do all things. Look at verse 19 of Romans 9. Thou wilt say then unto me, why does he yet find fault? For who has resisted his will? So God is the ruler and judge of this earth, people of God. And is always just. God is a just God. Who has resisted his will? For who has resisted his will? Who can fight against his will? None. So we are not in a position to say we are going to question God and wonder why this was done and why this wasn't done. God is God. He does as he pleases, and he is a just God. He is a just ruler. He is the only just person. God alone is just. So whatever he does, it is well done. Look at verse 20 of Romans chapter 9. Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed him, why hast thou made me this? So Paul was saying, who are you? Why are you questioning what God is doing? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed him, shall the created being speak to the creator like this? Why have you made me like this? So people of God, we have to stop and look into ourselves. And as we go along each day, we have to walk in reverential fear of who God is. We cannot speak anything or anyhow about our God, because he is God. He is greater than all. He is the one that has made us. He is the creator of us all. So we must give him the glory. We must give him the reverence that is due to his great name. So Paul was speaking to the Jewish people at this time. During these chapters 9 through 11 of Romans, he was addressing the Jewish audience. Look at verse 21 of Romans 9. Has not the potter power over the clay to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? So people of God, God is the potter. God is the potter and is able to reshape us. He is able to reshape fallen humanity. So the clay there refers to us. Humans refers to us. Fallen human beings who have fallen. From the time Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, we inherited the sin nature. And we are fallen human beings. But by putting our trust in Jesus Christ, We can now have life and have it more abundantly. So God is calling us and he's able to shape us in whatever form he wants to shape us. But we have to be pliable in his hands. We have to be pliable. He is the master potter. So Paul was saying, has not the potter power over the clay? God has power over each and every one of us, people of God. So we have to come to understand and humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. And the word tells us that he shall lift us up. When we are lifted up by God, people of God, we are well lifted up. We don't want to be lifting up ourselves, but we want to be pliable in the hands of the great potter. Verse 22 of Romans 9. What if God willing to show his wrath and to make his power known endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? What was Paul saying? God does as he will. If he is willing to cast his judgment upon those that are disobedient to him, then he can do it. He can do it. If he chose to be long-suffering and to give the rebellious person time to repent, he is God. He does as he pleases, people of God. The word of God tells us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God is God. He's long-suffering. But yet he will punish sin, people of God. He must punish sin. Because he is a just God. So if he is ready to cast his judgment upon those that are really living in sin or disobedient or unruly to him, then he does as he pleases. He's God. Who are we to question what God is doing? So that is what Paul was saying here. Who are we to be questioning what God is doing? Look at Romans 9, verse 23. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory. And that he might make known the riches of his glory. He might show his honor through the vessels that he had before time prepared for his glory, for his praise. People of God, we have to understand that God does as he pleases. And when we look in John 15, verse 16, the word of God said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. So Jesus was saying here, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. I have ordained you. I have prepared you before time. I have preordained you, preappointed you, prepared you for my honor, for my glory, that you will bring forth fruit, fruit of righteousness, people of God. The fruit of the Spirit must be seen in us. God has called us out to represent him well. He has called us out to be ambassadors, prepared unto his glory. People of God, Christ in us is the hope of glory. And when Christ is living in us through his Spirit, then we will demonstrate the glory of God right here on earth. God will be seen in us. God will be glorified. But he has chosen us, people of God, not to please ourselves. He has chosen us to go forth, to bring forth fruit, fruit of righteousness that will honor his great name. It is about his name. It is about honoring the name of our Lord. Look at verse 24. Of Romans chapter 9. Even us whom he has called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. So Paul was saying, even us, referring to himself also, who was a Jew. Even us whom he has called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. So God does not just call the Jews only, but he has also called the Gentile. All those who will come to him, he will in no likewise cast out. So he will not cast out anyone at all who will come to him. So Jesus did not just come for the Jewish people. He came for all of humanity. The word of God said, for God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God did not just come for the Jewish people alone, but he also came for the Gentiles. The word of God tells us that Christ came unto his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the sons of God. So Christ came not only for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. Look on verse 25 of Romans 9. As he says also in Hosea, speaking of Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not my beloved. So we see, people of God, that God's redemption is for both Jews and Gentiles. So he spoke these words in Hosea 2:23, and we can turn there. Hosea 2:23, the word of God says, and I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy on her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my God. So he's not just the Jewish people, but God is a God of all of humanity. He's for the Jews and he's for the Gentiles. So as he was saying there in the book of Hosea, that he, people who were not called his people, will now be called his people. So the Gentiles are also included in the plan of salvation. And we see that salvation has come to all of humanity who are willing to put their trust in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. So faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And when the word of God comes forth, it's for faith to arise in the hearts of God's people. God's desire is for all of humanity to be saved, not just the Jewish people, but also the Gentile. God is a God of all of his creation. So he has come to set captives free. He has come to open prison doors. He has come to make the lame walk and the blind see. So Jesus has come to restore humanity to wholeness. Jesus has come to give us life and life more abundantly. So we have to do something by putting our trust in him. And as the Holy Spirit brings conviction to your hearts, people of God, God is calling you to say yes to him. Those that are not yet saved, God is saying, say yes to Jesus. Yes to Jesus, for he is the only one that can save. Romans 9 verse 26. The word said, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. So it is said that those people who were not called the people of God, speaking of the Gentile, they will now be called the children of the living God because they have put their faith in Jesus. Whosoever will put their trust in Jesus Christ will now become children of the living God. Those who chose to believe in him, as many as believe in him, to them gave he the right to become children of God. So God is not just for the Jewish people, but God is also for the Gentile. God is for all of humanity, all those who will put their trust in Jesus. Look at verse 27 of Romans 9. Isaiah also cried concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. So though Israel is a large nation, the word said they are as the number is as the sand of the sea, only a small amount, only a small remnant shall be saved. Only a small remnant will put their trust in Jesus Christ. Salvation comes through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. So only a small remnant, people of God, will put their trust in Jesus. So it was already prophesied that only a small amount will believe. And we saw, people of God, in the Word of God, where when Jesus was here walking on earth, it was just a small remnant that truly put their trust in him. It was just a small remnant of Jewish people that believed in the Messiah Jesus. It was just a small remnant who really believed that he was the anointed one. So people of God, it was prophesied so many years before Christ came that only a small remnant of Israel shall be saved. Look on verse 28 of Romans 9. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And that's the King James Version. Reading from the NLT Version, he said, for the Lord will carry out his sentence upon the earth quickly and with finality. The Lord will carry out his sentence upon the earth quickly and with finality. So while we have time, people of God, let us take time out to come to that decision, make that decision as to where you are going to spend your long eternity. You have to make that decision from now. There is no repentance in the grave. So God is calling both Jews and Gentiles to come and to put their trust in Jesus Christ, the Messiah. He is the anointed one. He is the only one that is able to save. He saved to the utmost those who call upon his name. Look at verse 29 of Romans 9. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been like unto Gomorrah. So Isaiah prophesied and said, except the Lord of hosts has left us a seed, he left a small remnant, we would have been like Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah was completely wiped out, people of God, because of their evil ways. They were completely wiped out. And the word of God said, if it hasn't been for the Lord of heaven's army, there wouldn't even be left a small remnant. Everyone would have been wiped out, just like Sodom and Gomorrah. So it is showing God's mercy. It is showing God's kindness. It is showing God's grace towards his people. So we have to come to understand that God is a God of loving kindness, a God of tender mercies, a God of grace and mercy. But he's also a just God, and he must punish sin. Look at verse 30 of Romans 9. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, which is of faith. So Paul was saying, what shall we then say to this? The Gentiles which followed not after righteousness, they did not have the righteous law. They did not have those tablets of stones written for them to follow the law righteously. The law was showing that was Israel's righteousness. That shows that the law was given to Israel to point them to the righteousness of God and to help them to live righteously. But the law could not do it. The law of itself could not do it, people of God. The law was perfect, holy, right in every way, but the law could not make them righteous. They could not attain that righteousness, which is by faith in Jesus Christ. So the Gentile which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, which is of faith. The Gentile has now come to put their trust in Jesus Christ, and they now have become righteous. They are declared righteous. They are justified by putting their trust in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 31 of Romans 9. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, have not attained to the law of righteousness. People of God, Israel, who was given the written law as their standard of righteousness, have not attained unto the righteousness of the law. They have not attained unto the righteousness, which is what? No, through what? Faith in Jesus Christ alone. This righteousness now comes through faith in Jesus Christ alone. So people of God, they were trying in their own human effort to please God, trying to please God by living the law, but no man could live the law perfectly. People of God, the law is perfect in every way. It's holy, it's right, it's true. But there is no man that could live God's law perfectly. So it is a showing how much we have fallen short, people of God. As human beings, we have fallen short. And it is only through the grace of God, it is only through the blood of Jesus Christ that we can be declared righteous. The word of God says in Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we can only be justified, we can only be declared righteous by putting our faith in Jesus Christ alone. So the Gentiles who chose to put their faith in Jesus have now attained righteousness through their faith in Jesus Christ. But the Israelites, the Jewish people who continue to follow the law and refuse to put their trust in Jesus Christ, they were trying in their own human effort to reach that place, that standard of righteousness, which they cannot reach, for no man was able to keep the law perfectly. But we have the perfect God-man who came and he kept that law perfectly. He fulfilled the righteous requirement of the law. And now we have to put our trust in Jesus Christ, the righteous one. That's the only way we are going to be justified. That's the only way we are going to reach up to God's righteous standard, by putting our trust in Jesus Christ, the righteous one. So we are justified by putting our faith in Jesus Christ alone. God bless you here this evening. As we continue in the book of Romans, we are gleaning and seeing how important it is for us to understand that we have to reverence God for who he is, give him the glory and the praise, and not to question what he's doing, but to understand that he's a sovereign God, and his standard is what he has placed for us, and we cannot try to say that we are going to live up to our own standard, because our standards will not meet up with God's standard. We have to trust in the one who have lived the law perfectly, and that is Jesus Christ alone. So God bless you here this evening. Thank you all for listening. And we trust that somebody this evening will choose to put their trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. God bless you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for your word that has gone forth. We thank you for your people that have listened. And we pray in the name of Jesus that your words will bring transformation to the hearts of your people. We give you glory, honor, and praise as we look to you by faith. In Jesus Christ alone we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend, and trust that God will continue to open up your eyes to his word, and that your lives will be transformed. God bless you.
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy word is a lamp.